Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to invite Mayor Bob back to the podium to answer your questions. There's a microphone at the to my right at the back there, if you can arrange to be there. And I know there'll be many questions to ask Bob. As I mentioned earlier, please keep your preamble short, ask your question, and I've spoken to Mayor Bob, and he is willing to do the same.
My name is James Moore. Thank you, Mayor Tarlick, for coming out and speaking to us. I guess like many citizens, I remain puzzled at what's happening with the ABCP, the asset-backed commercial paper. For the point of the $5.7 million that the city put aside, is that the recognition that we're going to get 80% of the $30 million? And the other point is the federal government has agreed to pick up $5 billion. So it seems the taxpayers are paying on both sides of the equation. And my question is, who makes the decisions to buy that stuff? And is there no accountability on the seller, on the buyer? Is there nobody who knew what was happening? If so, how can they claim any expertise and why are they still working? And if there's this loss of money, I mean, those $30 million went somewhere. Somebody got their hands on it. It was real money. Is there no way to follow that trail and demand accountability? I mean, that's a lot of money that seemed to disappear. I know it only didn't happen here, but still, could you enlighten us a little bit on that, please?
Okay, there are a lot of questions in there, and I'll try and address as many as I can. I'm limited in what I can say because we are presently in negotiations with National Bank, and I want to indicate that it's not my expectation that there's $30 million that has disappeared, nor is it my expectation that the $5.7 million we put aside is lost money and that we'll never recover that. I think we'll have a clear idea of where we are within weeks. There's some important things that have happened in the last couple of weeks that have really moved this ahead. It began, as I indicated before, on really August 9th, 2007, and it's an issue that spread across the whole world. Who is responsible in the city of Lethbridge? It begins with the mayor and council, because the mayor and council established the financial policies, the investment policies, and if there's blame to be assigned, it should be assigned there. With regard to, however, you may want to look at what our position was, the government of Alberta has a requirement that municipalities not invest in anything below Class A investments, single A. We have a policy above that. We invest in double A, nothing below double A. We had looked about 18 months ago at changing our investment policy to take a more aggressive stance with the view of getting higher interest rates. And we looked at that and decided, no, that's not what we're going to do. We'll continue with a conservative policy. And we followed what we thought was a conservative policy. Obviously, since the asset-based commercial issue broke, that's changed the whole fiscal landscape. And we're going to have to look at investment through a different set of glasses. I have several recommendations that I have directed to the audit committee. I don't think it's fair for me to tell you today what they are because the audit committee hasn't met and hasn't discussed it, and I don't think that's fair to them. But, of course, we're going to look at this very carefully. With regard to controls, one of the things I've said, and I know I'm at odds with the premier, but I've said that I agree with the position of the federal government that we need a national regulatory agency. I think these issues are too big and they involve too much money for us to just leave it to individual provinces. I think it's far more effective to be looking at this on a national scale. With regard to our specific investment with National Bank, They have been engaged with us. I'm not going to tell you that. It would be unfair for me to say that they just sold us these and walked off. They've been engaged with us in trying to find a solution. You will know within several weeks what that solution is. Matter of fact, I'm hopeful that officials from the National Office of National Bank will come out here when we have that media conference, and we'll put all of that information public. But it's not my expectation that the write-down we took is a reflection of our expectation that we're going to be out $5.7 million.
Ah, yes, Your Worship, Mayor Tarlick. During the last Bob Giesbrecht. During the last municipal election or shortly thereafter, you announced that this was going to be your last term as mayor, but listening to you today, have you changed your mind?
I want to tell you that I have thoroughly enjoyed my experience as mayor of the city of Lethbridge. I don't think any mayor has ever worked with a better group of people than I have with this council. They're just a great group of people who respect one another and respect the city. I've had people encourage me to think again. But I think once you tell your wife, that's pretty permanent. And I happen to think that the city is best served by someone coming in full of enthusiasm, working full out, and then getting out of the way and letting someone else take over. So, no, I'm not changing my mind on that. But I will be working up until the last minute.
Art Sanford, and maybe I could start off like John Boris and say, Mr. Mayor, rather than Your Worship. He always had that hang-up,
yes,
you
did.
Remember. He never wanted to call the mayor Your Worship.
My wife doesn't either. After my first election, she made it very clear that I'm not Your Worship around the house. So,
Bob, the question I have is, my last year in council was 1995, and we were maybe a little bit smug. You know, at that time, we had $10 million of tax-supported debt. And yet we were bragging, and rightly according to the city of Edmonton, we had the second lowest property taxes of all of the cities of Alberta, even though we were still paying off tax-supported debt. When I see the next report coming through, the worst thing that happened to us, we always said, was to have a boom city like Fort McMurray or Calgary, because that's where taxes really get on the line and go up fast. Here we've had now, when I read the 2007 report from the city of Edmonton, we've had stable growth for 12 years. And we are now recorded as having the highest taxes of all the cities of Alberta.
No, that's not true.
And the highest utilities.
That's not true.
That was published in the Calgary Herald. No. So I guess my question is, why have we gone up so much higher than many of the others?
Well, first of all, I've heard that reported several times. And I happen to have the City of Edmonton report, which I'm sure the Calgary report is based on. It depends on there are a number of different measurements. And I don't want to take just the most favorable. That's not easiest. I'll tell you that there's one, for instance, average property tax for all single detached homes in 2007 were 7th out of 24. On that one, were less. All of the measurements were less than Grand Prairie, and that one were less than Edmonton as well. In fact, on that one, we happen to be less than Calgary. But I think the there's another one. Median house prices were less than Edmonton and Grand Prairie on that. But I think there are different ways of measuring average. I think I'll give you the two that I think are fairest and give the most accurate measurement. One is the total municipal property tax for a single detached home. They take a 1,200 square foot home. They 25 years old, basement development and garage. Out of 24 cities in Canada, we're 8th. Grand Prairie is 13th. Red Deer, Edmonton, and Calgary and Medicine Hat are admittedly less than we are. If you look at perhaps the most important one, which is total property and utility charges, which indicates what you're paying to operate your house, on that one, we're in the middle of the pack in Canadian cities. If you look just at taxes, Canadian and Alberta cities are lower than other cities, but if you add in utilities, that kind of balances it out. In that one, this is total property taxes and utility charges for a single detached home in 2007, which is the latest report we have. Lethbridge is 14 out of 24, which is lower than both Edmonton and Grand Prairie. If you listen to the mayor of Calgary, he's indicating that. And one of the other, as you are aware, one of the disadvantages we have against Calgary and Edmonton, for instance, is we don't have a business tax. We decided, and I think you were on council that time, we wanted to make Lethbridge more business-friendly, so we eat property taxation.
I paid business taxes for years.
We have no additional business taxes that you pay your commercial tax, your land tax, but we eliminated the additional business tax that Calgary and Edmonton and many other cities have.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Mr. Mayor, my name is Bob Babke. I have a myriad of questions, but let me deal with the ABCP issue very briefly. The freezing happened in August of 2007, and, of course, City Council never informed anybody in the city of anything until July 28th of 2008. At some stage, City Council must have made a decision to vote in favor of the Crawford Report because that voting took place in March of 2008. Long before the citizens of Lethbridge were ever aware that we held any of this. Can you tell me when that decision was actually made by Lethbridge City Council to support this? Which, by the way, as you know, gave National Bank and all of the other banks freedom from any litigation. So whatever you're negotiating is gratis, I take it, on behalf of National Bank because they have no legal obligation whatsoever to the city, as you're aware.
I'm not aware of the date of that. I can tell you that this is an issue that, and very likely we should have gone public with this earlier, but being very frank, we didn't really appreciate the seriousness of this issue, and we thought it would be resolved much earlier. The city of Lethbridge is, and no city has gone through anything quite like this. And we were hopeful that there would be and we were in negotiations, and we're often in negotiations with organizations, and we don't reveal the negotiations while they're going on. But in this case, we were under the understanding that there would be a conclusion of these negotiations fairly quickly. And as time went on, the world economic situation began to spiral out of control, and this got more complicated. And this is why the Crawford Group finally found that it wasn't able to put together agreement. They'd given us several deadlines that they were going to attempt to meet. And that deadline would come and said, no, we haven't been able to do it. And as the world financial situation got more complicated, it finally reached the point where it required the federal government to step in, and which they did, and pulled together an agreement with the provinces of Alberta, Ontario, and Quebec. And that allowed very quickly the Crawford Group to complete, within weeks actually, to complete the Pan-Canadian Agreement, which is the framework within which our agreement with National Bank must be consumed.
Can I have a supplementary?
Yes.
The question that I'm asking you is, how did the city of Lethbridge actually make a decision to enter into an agreement with the Pan-Canadian Committee and vote to support the conclusion that all of these people would be free from litigation? I don't understand how you did that in light of the Municipal Government Act that requires the city to act only in public. You made this decision, sir, and had to have, because you voted in favor of the Pan-Canadian Committee agreement.
Yeah, and I don't have the date at which we voted on that, and I don't have that before me, so I can't answer that. I can tell you that we were in negotiations for many months. Those negotiations, we weren't even free until we had their approval to indicate who our commercial bank was. And the audit committee was largely responsible for trying to move ahead with this issue, and we tried to deal with that as proactively as we could. Did we do some things wrong? Well, very likely we did. We'd never gone through an experience like that, and I think one of the things we're going to do, and I've already put some things on the agenda for the audit committee for us to review, I think we, having gone through this experience, I think we need to go back and review every step of our operation there and to find out what we did well and what we didn't do as well as we should have. And the issue that you raised is certainly one that I will see addressed.
Mayor Bob, thanks very much for coming today, Bob. I want to ask you a question about a democratic principle that I don't clearly understand. Day after day, week after week, the mayor is attacked in the paper for abuses of authority and misunderstanding and misjudgments and all those things. And I understand that the mayor is legally and properly the spokesperson for the council. But day after day after day, we don't hear a peep from the other people whom we have duly elected and whom we feel are responsible to inform themselves and indeed to listen to the audience. Is there a member of the council here today? Not one. That bothers me because I think that this somehow is the voice of the people that they might be interested in. It seems logical that this is a part of the electorate. But there are people there for years and years in the council who are not heard from. Does that not bother you?
Well, I need to say that when I took this job, I knew there would occasionally be heat, and I'm willing to accept that. I've learned a long time ago not to overreact. In fact, I have an article coming out in tomorrow's Lethbridge Herald on how we should face the future. I think that we're facing tremendous economic challenges everywhere in Canada, but we have a lot of resilience, we have a lot of strengths, and we have a lot of capacity for innovation and community building in this committee, community and this region that serve us well in riding this out, and I think this is a time for balance. And my attitude in the face of adversity has always been to take a deep breath and not panic. With regard to my other members of council, I need to tell you that I have an incredible amount of respect for them. I've loved working with them, and I appreciate how hard they work on behalf of the city of Lethbridge.
Next.
Mayor Tarlick, my name is Ken Eichel, and I have an interest in this ABCP, along with a lot of citizens in Lethbridge who are really concerned about the could-be loss of money. Taxpayers' dollars, a federal provincial government are using taxpayers' dollars to bail out taxpayers' dollars' losses. But the fact that I wanted to ask you about is not being open with the people last year or when this fiasco all started. The city of Hamilton, they were straightforward with their people down there. They had $97 million invested in it. They took a $19 million write-down. They put it in their financial statement last year. The city manager made a statement to the public that, yes, we are involved in a could-be loss of dollars. And because of the negotiation with the Crawford Group and every participant signing up with that Crawford Group had to sign off no litigation, no claim. Nothing. They had to accept what the Crawford Group said, and that's the position that you were in because you must sign that document too, stating that we will not get involved in litigation. You had non-bank ABCP. You didn't have a bank ABC. So I don't know how. What I want to know, and a lot of citizens want to know, how are you going to recover the majority of that $30 million? You've already taken 5.7 out of the MSRS, which was at one time was to relieve taxation, but how are you going to do a recovery to get that money back? That's what we want to know because you're going to be responsible for that loss, and according to the people, you're not even going to get a 43% return on all the financial experts that are out there saying you're lucky if you're even going to get 45 cents on a dollar. But what are you going to do? What is City Council going to do to put the citizens of Lethbridge back into a good financial position and recover that loss? What are you going to do?
Okay, first of all, I want to make it clear that I have never acknowledged that we're going to lose 40% of our investment. I have never acknowledged that. At one time, I had indicated that I thought we would come out of this without any loss of revenue. When circumstances changed, and we've been in the process of negotiating with National Bank for some time, I indicated that I no longer felt confident in saying that. However, I've made it very clear that I don't think, in my view, and I think in the view of the city of Lethbridge, the fact that we took a $5.7 million write-down is not an acknowledgement that we expect to lose $5.7 million. I think I'm not going to go into more details on this now because we are, as we speak, in negotiations with National Bank, and I know it's popular in many circles to attack the bank's role in these things. I can only tell you that in my experience, our commercial banker has been engaged with this and trying to find a solution. I had discussions with one of the chief executive officers from Montreal today. We hope to be in a position to wrap this up in the next couple of weeks, and it would be my hope that officials from the National Bank Montreal office would come up with out with us for the public release of that information, and we will provide all of the information that is relevant. And I can't give you any more comfort than that. With regard to how this all rolled, did we make some mistakes? Well, perhaps. As a matter of fact, I think everyone knows that we had delayed the issuing of our financial statement because we knew that that having to take a write-down complicates the whole thing. If we were where we are today, back in October or November, we probably wouldn't have had to take a write-down. But at that time, we didn't have an alternative, and we had put off the audited financial statement, which is normally dealt with in May. We'd put that off in the hope that just around the corner there was a solution and that we'd wrap this all up. Well, it turned out to be much more complicated than we thought. Are we going to go back and re-examine every step of our role with this? Yes. Am I taking responsibility for losing a better part of $30 million? I don't think that's in the cards, and I think when we have a press conference in a couple of weeks, you'll see what we've done. We've been working, our staff's been working very hard with this for about 17 months, and I wish I could give you more information now, but I think it's most inappropriate for me to give you information when we're in the midst of fairly important negotiations with our commercial banker.
Could I ask one more?
Yes, one quick one.
Why didn't when all the other people that were participants in that ABCP, when they got a sniff of subprime being involved in those investments, they dumped, and that's what caused the government to come in and freeze it. How come at that time that your advisor at the bank or anything didn't tell you to dump?
Well, I'm not prepared to deal with that sort of detail because, quite frankly, I don't have that information at hand, and I think it would be inappropriate for me to speculate.
Any other questions from anyone? You have your mayor here.
Hi, Ann Hatford. Most of my adult career was in human resources and hiring people in retail, private sector, federal and provincial governments. In the government sector, people are interviewed by a board, and there's usually a level of minimum of 6 or maximum of 10 in each category. Those on the board are people with experience in whatever they're looking for. If it works for the federal and provincial government, why doesn't the city try something like this instead of what does human resources do if they have to keep spending money to find somebody?
Well, we don't have the sort of departments that the federal and provincial governments have. We will occasionally hire recruiting firms to identify candidates for us because, and this may be a surprise to you, but we're in a tough recruiting market. We have a tremendous number of experienced, late middle age civil servants who are retiring now, and so we're in the business of finding skilled people to replace them. And in many cases, we can't just count on people from within our own community, so in some cases, we have to go out and search for them. it is, in our view, cheaper for us to use recruiting firms on occasion, and we don't use them all the time, but it's cheaper, in our view, to hire people on a short-term basis rather than to staff up our department and be paying for them 24/12. So that's our rationale. We're really hiring expertise when we need it.
Next.
Well, Bob, let me get away from Bob Babke is my name. Let me get away from the ABCP, although I hope when you have that press conference that there'll be some citizens invited to come, because I think our questions are probably a little more valid than the media sometimes. But let me ask you.
In fact, I can answer that and tell you that there will be a press conference, and I think I can assure you that the public will be welcome there just as they are from any of our media conferences, and we will make sure that you're aware of it.
Good. Let me ask you about affordable housing, because it's something that concerns everybody, and it's a difficult question. But I noticed that the last Sunridge subdivision that you did was offered for sale in June, and more than half of those properties are still for sale. There are no affordable housing properties within that subdivision. This week, the latest Riverstone subdivision has gone out, and several of those properties are listed for sale. These are lots, service lots, for more than $200,000 per lot. There are clearly no affordable housing units going to be available in that. Why is it that the city simply refuses to provide in any of the subdivision areas that they're dealing with to offer affordable housing units in those areas?
Well, I think you're aware the city has made a commitment to affordable housing, and it's not just about lots in expensive subdivisions. I don't think the solution to affordable housing is to take some of the most expensive lots in the city of Lethbridge and subsidize them with taxpayers' dollars. I think we need, if we're looking at a sustainable approach to affordable housing, I think we have to look at affordability throughout the whole system. I think part of that depends on greater density of development. And if we went into an area such as Sunridge and suddenly put up a semi-detached or started putting up condominium projects where people had purchased lots at a considerable cost with the expectation that it would be a single-family area, I think they would be justifiably concerned. So we're trying to identify areas, and I think one of the ways we need to do this is identify areas that are most appropriate for affordable housing, and in many cases I think that those are lots that lend themselves to greater density of development, and also areas that are probably closer to transit systems, because many of these people depend on transit more frequently than the general population. So it's a combination of reasons, but I don't think the answer is taking the most expensive lots in the city of Lethbridge and having the city taxpayer subsidize them.
Time for one or two more questions. Anyone else?
Yeah, Mayor Tarlick, Ken Eichel again. The government's announcement on infrastructure dollars for municipalities, and there's meetings, I thought maybe you might be in Ottawa now talking about it, but there's meetings down there now with all the big city mayors, and also the presentations by your federal municipalities association with a list of 1,100 presentations. And I was just wondering if you put your list in, and what specific projects do you have? I think it's 100-day projects and so many jobs to be built. What specific items do you have on that list that was presented to the FCM?
Well, first of all, the Prime Minister had wanted to meet with me today, but I told him I had to be here. Second of all, I don't want to give a premature list, because we are looking at a whole list of things. We have, if I go public with something before council's approved it, I think that's a disservice to the whole process. I can tell you that one of the issues is they want projects that they don't have a shovel in the ground. They're ready to go, but not projects that have already started. And so that has some impact on some of the things we can go after. We have, as you realize, we got some provincial dollars this week for transit. We are following these issues day by day, whether it's provincial or federal issues. I immediately brought this issue to the attention of our administration, and we are looking at those projects in the community, because even if it's a non-city project, it has to go through us. So we are looking carefully at city and non-city projects that might be qualified, and we'll make that decision, and we'll do it quickly, and we'll make sure that we'll have our application in time. But I'm not prepared to make an announcement before council has even reviewed these, and the administration is just in the midst of making a list of all of the potential projects.
Thank you very much.
You have a question, ma'am?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Bridget Pastour. One of the things that I've just noticed recently, which of course falls under my portfolio, is that I was very disappointed to see what happened with the atrium. I felt that it was a good project and certainly had supported it. And I'm just wondering where that might sit. Is there a possibility of going back to the drawing board on that one? I have a great deal of respect for Dan Bergen. I think that he did a good job on our water tower. I sat on council and was very excited when that came forward, because to me it represented a lot of really out-of-the-envelope, innovative kind of thinking. So to make my question, I'm sorry, really is, can we go back to the drawing board on that one? Because I really felt that a lot of the people that I'm working for would have benefited from that being affordable housing.
Well, I was very disappointed with that as well, and quite frankly a little disappointed and surprised, because it had been identified as a good project before. I have a lot of respect for the work that Mr. Bergen did, and I know I believe that his involvement in that was because he saw it as a good project for the community. It wasn't a huge money maker for him. He can make more money doing other projects, but I believe he really put his heart and soul into that. I think it would have been not only good for people who badly need affordable housing, but I think it would have been a good addition to that block. That space has been empty for well over 25 years, I believe, now. I have given all the support I can. I've talked to him. I don't think he's any longer interested. We don't own the property, so we're limited in what we can do. So if someone else comes along with another proposal to do that, I'd be prepared to even go to Edmonton and talk to the people in Edmonton to see whether we can get them on side. But not owning the property, and I understand the property owner is in negotiations with another party, we're limited in what we can do until someone else comes by.
Mr. Mayor, Lawrence Desern, I was just wondering if you can give us some information on what the provincial government is doing by taking paramedic ambulance service out of the jurisdiction of cities and giving it to the health regions.
I have to hold myself back because I've been spending a lot of time in this week, and I need to be careful what I say. I wish I understood more fully what the design is of the provincial government. We have been operating in this community an integrated fire ambulance system for about 100 years of a very high quality. I think many of you realize that we lost our bid to be providing the communications network with this, which is important. One of the reasons that's important is with an integrated system, when a call comes in, we have the fire, ambulance, police people all together in the same room, and we can decide whether we send an ambulance or whether to send a fire truck, recognizing that the people on our fire trucks are also trained paramedics. So we get the best of both worlds. If we send a fire truck, there is a backup, and there's a fire down the street, and the ambulance reached there, then the fire truck is detached and goes to the fire, whatever the other emergency is. I very much appreciate the quality of the service that people have provided, and I know that residents in Lethbridge and southern Alberta appreciate the safety and security that they've provided. We're trying to deal with the provincial government now to get a clearer idea of just what their expectations are. And I need to tell you that after many months of trying to work with him, I'm not very clear. My primary interest is ensuring the safety and security of people in my community. I'm going to continue to press for that. And I expect that I may very well be in meetings in Edmonton on this in the coming weeks. So I can, if I'm not speaking more exactly, I need to be careful because I could be in the Premier's office in a couple of weeks, and so I have to be careful of what I'm saying. But I want you to know that I am incredibly concerned about the potential impact their decisions that we don't understand. That what they may have in terms of the delivery of what has been an incredibly high level of service in this community.
Thank you.
Since you announced it's your last term, Bob, if you're not running for MLA, when you go to Edmonton, be brave. Don't worry about it. Even if you lose, you can go down as the last of the big spenders. Thank you on behalf of SACPAW Mayor Bob for your speech, for meeting the challenges and the issues, and for your succinct answers to all of the questions raised. On behalf of everyone here, thank you once again.